We'll have 3 points in the homily. It's an old tradition of the Jesuits emphasizing the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then in preaching and teaching, kind of like 3 major points. And so to acknowledge that I learned something under the Jesuits, I'll try to do the same thing. I studied theology with them over at Innsbruck, Austria. But there's some wonderful issues that we live with every day of our lives that come right out of the scriptures that we read here today. And the first one in the Acts of the Apostles, and by the way, reading the Acts of the Apostles is an exciting read because it's kind of the church in its first flush of glory with Jesus and what all they did. It's just filled with excitement and joy. But here, they gathered together, as it said, and they held all things in common. They brought what they had together and shared that, and everybody did well. And in fact, it didn't work out. As you might well imagine, we could probably do very well if we shared everything in common. Probably could maybe do better than even we're doing now. I know we could. But it's kind of tough to do, because we want our own things. And unless you have some outside motivation. The Harmonists over in New Harmony tried to do that, and they fell apart. The hippie communes of the 60s, based on the same thing. And almost none of them survived because they didn't have that one element that you'll find in religious communities, like the sisters over at Ferdinand, the monks at St. Mindred, Benedictine monks at St. Mindred, and other religious communities in the same way. That other element is that you do all of this for the sake of the kingdom of God, and to preach and teach God's word and to flourish in that. Let that be the main thing. They can survive, but the others just can't make it. In fact, when you read the Acts, it's almost unbelievable. They would sell things and bring them and share with everybody. And this one couple sold property, and the man comes and gives St. Peter the money, and he says, "It's what we got for it." And Peter said, "You're lying. You will pay." Boom, over he goes, dies. And a little later, his wife comes and says, "Well, you know, we did. We sold the property, and this is what we got." Peter said, "You're lying too." Boom, over she goes, and she's dead. So God was pretty powerful in working with them. But they gathered together, shared things in common, and celebrated the Eucharist. It says they came together with the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist, the Mass. But we have, thanks be to God, these groupings here and there throughout the world that still live a model where you can share together and generously look after one another, as is encouraged to us in the Scripture. And that's the role of monastic communities of various kinds throughout the world. By the way, Pope Francis, of course, was a member of the Jesuit community. He had the vow of poverty, where you join together and you simply give up the right to personal ownership. That's the vow of poverty at its most deep level. And so the Pope is very strong about sharing and helping, isn't he? We've heard that over and over, how to live that life. So it's a very powerful image for him. And we need to keep that. We don't, you know, each one is called to different levels of doing that. And all we can do is what we can do. But we know that it's with us, and Christ asks us to share and to be generous with one another. The gospel says, and the gospel, this is an immediate follow-up from last Sunday's gospel. This is in the evening of that first day of the week when they've already seen the empty tomb. The apostles are gathered behind locked doors because it said the Judeans were after them. They were afraid of them. The Judeans were not easy on people they didn't like. And they knew that they knew some of their names especially. So they had the doors locked. We're gathered together that evening. And it says suddenly Jesus was in their midst. Now how he got there, how do we know that? I mean, how did he do that? Some scientists I read one time tried to say that, you know, that there's spaces and material in our bodies, and so Jesus kind of spaced himself to match open spaces in the wall and went right through it. I don't know. That sounds too difficult to me. Why couldn't he just, he was God, he was there, and he was. They were happy to see him, thrilled to see him. Jesus, then it says, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now that word breathing and spirit have a lengthy and deep history. If you look in the first book of the gospel, of the scriptures, book of Genesis, the second verse of the first chapter, it says that a mighty wind swept over the chaotic mass that was there. And then begins the orderly creation of all things. This mighty wind. In the second chapter of Genesis, it says that God went down and made out of clay, molded a body. And then he breathed into the nostrils. And it came to life. It was Adam. And we hear then of the presence of the Spirit of God down through scriptures. So all of this comes together and Jesus breathes on them, says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained. Jesus passed on to his apostles that forgiving, merciful presence in the world. Jesus healed people physically. He healed them spiritually. And he wanted us to have that same power available to us today, down through the ages. He gave that power to the apostles to carry on. They, in turn, passed it on to those who were named as religious leaders in the various communities down through the years. And so today, the priests and bishops, we hold that same gift, that wonderful power, to speak in Jesus' name and say, your sins are forgiven. What a wonderful gift in the sacrament of reconciliation, where our sins are forgiven. The third issue comes up with belief, faith. And Jesus is there, and it says he shows them his hands, his feet, and his side. Now that's interesting. John's account is the only one that speaks of Jesus talking about his side. He's the only one in his gospel that speaks when Jesus is on the cross is that a soldier took a lance and stuck him in the side, and water and blood flowed out. But anyway, Jesus shows himself. Thomas wasn't there. And they said, we've seen the Lord. And he said, no, not me, you know. Unless I see and touch and put my hand in and side and all that, I won't believe. That may be like some of us. There are people that they're not going to believe anything. A lot of times they have more difficulty getting through life rather than kind of learning from the problems that other people have had. Learning from that, it's easier than to have to undergo all the same problems that others have had to get along in life. But anyway, Thomas was like that. He must have been from Missouri, or his, you know, Missouri, on their license plate, show me state, you know, show me. But anyway, our Lord said, blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. Faith is, it's a delicate thing. It's a gift that not everyone is given. It's a gift from God. But what it is that we believe, or we hold to what we hear and is passed on to us, not because we can fully comprehend it or that we have absolute knowledge, but we believe it on the base of the one who tells us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, tells us these things. We believe because he can neither deceive nor be deceived. Jesus says, blessed are you who have been given that gift of faith to be with me and to walk with me. And so we, along with St. Faustina and many countless others today, say, my Jesus, I trust in you.